This morning's sermon scripture is taken from Psalm 139, verses 13 through 24. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is God's holy word.
I have to apologize. I skipped a paragraph in the baptism. I forgot to explain who these folks are. A few years ago, four, five, six, I was blessed to be able to do the wedding for David and Jessica, which I'll never forget because it was at the covered bridge at the fairgrounds in Williams County. So, original setting. Jessica is the daughter of William and Jennifer Yoakum. Jennifer Yoakum is the daughter of Michael and Sue Henry, so that makes Braylon and Knox, and some of the people that have been around here for a few centuries, will understand that Betty Henry was the great, great, great grandmother of Braylon and Knox. So you have that in context if you know the family, and thankful everybody else is here too. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the ways that you teach us through your written word. And for this morning, as we look at the wondrous words, the poetic language of Psalm 139, Lord, we're thankful that David wrote these for us to read in today's world. Lord, may we tune our hearts and our minds to them, not just in this brief time of meditation, but also throughout the day and in the coming week and throughout our very lives, to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Amen. A little girl was visiting at her grandpa's house, and once there, she crawled up upon his lap and said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And Grandpa of sorts said, "Oh, yes, my dear, God created me a long time ago." And then the little girl asked, "Did God make me too?" To which the grandpa said, "Oh, yes, my dear, God made you, created you just a little while ago." And the little girl thought about that for a few moments, and then she said, "God's been doing better work the last while, hasn't he?" That's why we always love little children. That is a child who appreciates the way God made her. But not everyone feels that way. Sometimes, maybe each one of us, we might wish we were made a little different or maybe made a little better. Some children who want to play basketball always wish that they were taller because when they're playing basketball, the kids that are taller are always blocking their shots. Some people might wish that they were better in the kitchen with cooking or baking. Some people might wish they were better with their hands and doing repairs around the house. Some people might wish that they had a different color hair or had hair, or they might wish that their nose was smaller. There are lots of ways that people wish that they were made or created different. What can end up happening when we think that way is we show a lack of appreciation to God for how he did create us. Sometimes when we criticize God for the ways he didn't make us, we forget to thank God. We forget to praise God for how fearfully and wonderfully we are made. Psalm 139 teaches us and reminds us and encourages us to praise God for the wondrous ways He has made each and every one of us. As I said in the prayer, the writer of Psalm is David, and he speaks in this psalm of the greatness of God and how that greatness touches each of us throughout all the days of our life. One aspect of Psalm 139 can be summarized with these three phrases. Psalm 139 teaches us that God knows everything. He knows everything. And yet He also knows each one of us individually. And as God knows everything, God is also everywhere. And as God is everywhere, He's everywhere with each one of us. Whether we're here, whether we're home, whether we're at work, at school, whether we're camping out on the water, whether we're sleeping, God is with us everywhere we are. And as God knows everything and as God is everywhere, God created everything. And as God created everything, He created each one of us. I want to look once again at Psalm 139. We're kind of going to go through blocks of the verses. First from verses 1 through 6. God knows who you are. God knows who you are. He knows who you are on Sunday mornings, and He knows who you are on Thursday evenings. Why would I phrase it that way? Sometimes people might act a little bit different if they're sitting in worship than they might act at work or at home. But remember, God knows you in every minute detail of life, no matter where you are or when it is. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. We are more valuable than all the birds of the air, and God knows the number of hairs either on or off of our head. Verse 4 of Psalm 139. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. I want you to think about that, ponder that for a moment, as that little girl sat on her grandfather's lap and thought about that. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. As you think about that, the fact that God knows every word on my tongue, that should affect my speech. God knows those words, and we should pattern our words after words that are pleasing to God. God knows and hears every word. We can be mindful of Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. In Psalm 139, verse 5, you hem me in, behind and before. David is writing about his past, and he's writing about his future. And he knows that God has laid His hand upon him. And it's kind of like a hedge of protection that God is around us, both physically and spiritually. A hedge of protection as we live in this world. And then moving on to verses 7 through 12, these poetic words of wonder. As we read those, we might be asking ourselves the question, where can I hide from God? Now, why would we want to hide from God? I remember a time when I hid from my mother. In the house that I grew up in, it was a two-story home, and they were creative builders, I guess. And over the stairwell to the second floor, it had a landing and everything. In my bedroom, there was a little platform, and I could climb on that platform and then open up a cubby hole. There were little shutters, and then, you know, you're supposed to store stuff in there. Whenever I wanted to hide from my mom, that's where I went. And I learned to have boxes up there so I could hide behind the boxes. Unfortunately, if you hide there once and she finds you, She knows. But that's where I always thought I could hide from my mom, but I never could. Well, we can't go anywhere and hide from God. When we have sinned, when we have hurt somebody, when we've hurt of ourselves, God knows, and God's with us, and we don't try to hide because God is everywhere. Now, as people read this, many people aren't too sure that this is a good thing. People can be uncomfortable. They can be anxious and nervous that God is watching everything they do. It's kind of like living in this world. You watch those TV shows, all the cop shows and those kind of things where they can find anybody, where there's a camera on the ATM that can see that person that's parking across the street, or the cameras that are hidden everywhere, stop signs, or traffic signals. They can track us anywhere, and really that does happen in world. I talked about that last Sunday where someone drove through a red light. 2 weeks later, they got a ticket in the mail because there was a camera there that caught them running the red light. And that can cause us fear and anxiety. But think about that in terms of God. God intends it for good. God has good intentions as He's with us and knows us everywhere and all the time. It's part of that hedge of protection. God wants us to be with Him eternally. So there's no uncomfortableness, no concern, because God loves us and He has goodwill in mind for us. And then verses 13 through 16. Through these verses, we can understand that God knew David from before his birth. David writes that God knew him in the womb. In the womb. God's concern for life begins at conception, at life in the womb. God sees a person in a mother's womb. And the result is, I will praise you. The wonders of the human body, the mystery of the human body, how we function, are both stunning in design and execution. You told me 5 weeks ago that I would be feeling this good after knee replacement surgery. I would have said, you're kidding me. But it is amazing to look at those x-rays and to see how those parts put in, and now I'm walking, I'm almost ready to start jumping and running. Oh no, not there. But it is amazing how the body functions. How the body functions. I will praise you, O Lord, for the wonders of the human body. Stunning in design and execution. And David writes about the depths of the earth. Any mysterious, unseen place, such as the mystery of the womb, is not hidden from God. Now, as people think about this and they read these verses, they might wonder, what about those children, those infants born with a birth defect or born with a disease? Where's God with that person, that hedge? Well, unfortunately, we live in the reality of a fallen world. It's not part of God's original design. And someday, for those that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in eternal life, we will be back in God's design, where there will be no more sickness and illness and tears. But in this world, we live with those defects, those diseases. And yet, each and every person is made wonderfully by God. When I think about these verses, I think about my times at church camp over the years with children born with defects, children born with Down syndrome. And as I worked with those children, they were ministering to me more than I was ministering to them. And Van Barnt, I knew for 40-some years as a young man and an older man that lived with Down syndrome, and he was the most devout Christian man that taught me more about the Bible than those pastors I would listen to. Because no matter who we are and how we were made, we are part of God's image. And he creates us each for a purpose. Each for a purpose. And then verse 16 is a verse that I began to memorize when I was 13, 14 years of age. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. That's a verse of scripture that my pastor gave to me when my father died, when I was that young. That we couldn't just explain it all, but it's an aspect of life. And my father's days on this world were ordained and written in that book, just as my days and your days will be. And I learned to cherish each day, each day. The past and the future, they are written and they are numbered. And then verses 17 and 18, the thoughts of God. How often does God think about you? How often does God provide for you? How often? The psalmist says, the thoughts of God are greater than the grains of sand. Have you gone to that seashore and picked up a cup, even a quarter cup of sand, and tried to count those grains? Infinite. That's how often God thinks of us as his children. And those thoughts, they're thoughts of blessing. They're thoughts of pardon. They're thoughts of renewal. They're thoughts of teaching. They're thoughts of providing. Because God's will for us is good. And in verses 19 through 22, verses talking about righteousness and justice. Yes, we live in a fallen world. There is evil and wickedness around us. And David is praying against that wickedness. Anything opposed to God, David is praying to God for righteousness and justice. And then the closing two verses, 23 and 24. It's a humble prayer. It's a humble prayer by King David. It's a prayer to a great and glorious God. And David opens himself and he gives us an example. Open yourself. Allow God to examine your heart. And what is God looking for in the heart of David? He's looking for any worry. Any worry and concern. Because where there is worry, there can be unbelief. Where there is worry, there can be misplaced trust. And so God wants to remove that worry and put belief and put trust in. And so David opened himself completely before God, setting the example of we opening ourselves completely before God for the way everlasting. The way everlasting described throughout the words of this psalm. To worship and to praise our great and glorious God. Amen. Let's bow in prayer before the Lord. O great and glorious, O wondrous God, we do thank you for the ways that you've made each one of us. And help us to recognize that we are each wondrous, created by you. That in our differences, in our different abilities, our different thoughts, our different looks, our different desires, you challenge us. You call us to find what we have in common. You call us to love one another as you love us, even when we need to be pardoned because of our sin. Lord, we thank you for your power. We thank you for the authority of the Holy Spirit to turn a heart that is filled with wickedness to one of glory, because your light can shine through all the darkness of the world. We know that light through Jesus Christ, a light that he calls us to send into the world through our actions of discipleship, our words of mercy. Lord, we pray that as a congregation, you would continue to guide us to love one another. And Lord, we also pray that we would continue to preach your word in calling people out of sinfulness into the light of the world in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray as a congregation that you would lift up those people to serve on that search committee for a pastor of youth and young adults, for that process to begin. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for miracles of healing. We continue to pray for those people listed on our list of concerns, that they would know your presence in their life, that when they are down and feeling down, that they would know you are with them. For the individuals, those families that are grieving and mourning, Lord, support them in these days. Help them to look to the future when there will be no more death and there will be everlasting life for those who trust and believe in your Son, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of this time, and hear us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I have to apologize that when I opened up my eyes after the prayer, I looked down and I saw my note to be praying for Sue Buehr. Her mom, Mert Rufer, has been placed in hospice down in the hospice center in Defiance. So we will be praying for you and all your family.
And at this time, I'll invite the ushers forward to collect our tithes and offerings. Generous Father, we thank you that all things were created through you and for you, and you are before all things, and in you all things exist. The Bible says we should bring our tithes and offerings into your storehouse, that you will respond by opening the windows of heaven and sending down blessing upon blessing. Accept the gifts we place before you now. Amen.
Closing praise song is called Leaning. It's going to start out with the traditional song Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and it's going to go into a newer version by Matt Mayer. And in the chorus it says, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, what a priceless gift. God, I'm yours and you are mine. Let my restless soul be still and know I'm leaning on your everlasting arms. Following the spoken benediction, we're going to sing a newer song called Available. And as we are opening ourselves completely to God, letting him lead and guide us, let us hear the call and be available to what he has for us.
Arms of your Lord. May you know the way everlasting, and may you go in his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
are so few. So pray to the one in charge of the harvesting and ask him to recruit more workers for his harvest fields. Search us, O Lord. Make us available to what you have us do.